Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 520 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. And if you've been paying attention on social media, I did not realize it until after I recorded last week. Episode 519 was last week, which means we're only 100 episodes away from 619. 619, Rey Mysterio. I have unmasked him. I have him here. No, I'm kidding. I am trying, though, to get Rey Mysterio to be my guest for episode 619 of the podcast. That's not until September of 2026. In the meantime, though, Chad Smart is going to have to do and fit the bill. Chad, go ahead and take the mask off, and we'll go ahead and get down to this week's episode. What's up, man?
Ha ha ha! I just want to know why you want some deadbeat dad like Ray on the show when you could go with Dominic, Dirty Dom.
He's
from San Francisco as well, or San Diego. True. Sorry.
Yeah. So that is true. I didn't think about Dirty Dom. I don't have a Dirty Dom figure or mask to play around with, though.
No, but yeah. But you also have to grow out a mullet by then. Just
yeah, I just got a haircut, so it might take a while.
I mean, let's be honest. Dirty Dom's new look, which is obviously an ode to Eddie Guerrero. You know, he's now got the Latino cheat T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Are we sure that the paternity test came back that Ray was Dom's dad? Because I mean, Dirty Dom does bear a striking resemblance to Eddie more so than Ray.
I don't disagree with you. And I actually saw Dom did an interview with Chris Van Vliet. I don't know if you've ever listened or seen any of his stuff, but he gets all the superstars, current, former, and everyone in between. And the Dom interview is really good. I think he stays in character for a lot of it, but it's good stuff. And I do think, you know, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago when Dominic Mysterio first came on the scene, when as a wrestler, obviously we remember him from SummerSlam 2005, but seeing him now, you know, I think he's really one of those guys that has embraced it and gone with it. Because I think a lot of times the second generation, we've talked about this before, second generation superstars kind of fall into that trap of living up to the expectations that their parent had. And some have succeeded and some have failed. I would argue, I know you will argue back, Randy Orton has exceeded his legendary father, Bob Orton. And
I agree with that. I just find Randy Orton to be really boring and I don't care to watch him, but I can't deny that he is better than his dad. And at least he has bones that heal.
That's true. That is true. But, you know, and then in a case now, I would say the jury is still out, but I would still go with Ric Flair over Charlotte Flair and probably Dusty Rhodes over Cody or Dustin Rhodes. But Dustin, or Cody rather, is still, you know, has some time in his career. So we'll see. I know he's obviously accomplished a lot, winning the Universal Championship and now is the Crown Jewel Champion apparently as well. So what are your thoughts on those legacies? And this will be a whole episode down the road probably, but as we were talking about Dominic, it just kind of got me thinking on those kinds of things.
I definitely agree with you about Rick. I mean, I think Charlotte, for me personally, I think the biggest detriment to Charlotte is the fact that she's like 7 years into her career and she's already like two world title reigns away from tying Rick. Like, you know, the winning and losing titles so quickly.
Yeah.
It just feels like a forced thing.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, that's just nature of the business now that you're going to have more title changes unless you're the world and universal champion. But yeah, obviously David Flair, unfortunately, was more of David Sammartino than anything.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, I think Dustin's a weird example because I think Dustin is good when he's not Dustin. As Goldust, he was really great when he was a character, but as just plain white meat babyface Dustin, you know, even his work in Ring of Honor right now, where he's like half painted, something is missing from the overall presentation. And Cody, again, more talented than I am. I'll never take that away. But his run in WWE, just something for me isn't clicking. It's more like an unearned, we're just going to put you in the spot and you're going to be the guy. And it doesn't matter what you do, you're always going to be the focus. You know, it's kind of like what it was with John Cena, what it kind of was with Roman, although Cody is out there more in the Cena role of doing all the media, you know, being the face of the company. And I think that just comes off for me, just comes off as inorganic. And I don't know, that keeps me from really buying into the Cody Rhodes, the wrestler.
I could see that. I could see that. Let me ask you this, since you brought up we brought up Ric Flair, this podcast, I think we're going to talk mostly about Goldberg, but we're going to sidetrack before we get there, because as Chad said before we started recording, this would probably be like a Goldberg match pretty quick. You know, Sports Illustrated last week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, released the top 20 WWE superstars of all time. I'm not going to go over the entire list, or maybe we'll end up doing that. But I guess the controversial part of this, and I think that I know I took umbrage with it, and I'm sure perhaps you did as well. Nature Boy Ric Flair, not in the top 20 WWE superstars of all time. What are your thoughts on that? Does he deserve a spot on that list? Or because, and I think a lot of the excuses that were made or reasoning behind it was because he had his most success in JCP and in WCW, and there was a big window there where he was not wrestling in his prime for the WWF or WWE. What are your thoughts initially? Did you see this list, first of all?
I mean, I saw the list was out. I didn't read it because, like most lists, I don't give too much credence to because it's, you know, I mean, it'd be like me
it's
sitting
all
here
subjective.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to semantics. And before you even explain the other reasoning, I was going to say the same thing. It's like, is it just WWE wrestlers, you know, WWF / WWE, or is it a more overarching top 20 wrestlers, but we're saying WWE because that's what.
Well, I mean, Chris Jericho and CM Punk are on this list. And that's not a knock against either of them, but I feel like they have both enjoyed success in other companies as well. Maybe their primary success did come in the WWE. I don't know.
Yeah. I think both of them, you know, because both were multi-time champions in WWE, whereas Flair he's a two-time WWE champion, but, you know, those reigns were 30 years ago.
And yeah.
Short range. So if you take it in that regard of, let's just leave it to the WWE career.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could probably make the case that Flair should probably be in the top 20, but probably on the low end, realistically.
Let me tell you, number 20 is Becky Lynch. To me, Flair was more impactful. And I love Becky
Lynch,
don't get me
wrong.
I
mean, to be the man, you have to beat the man, and Becky never beat Ric Flair, so.
That's true. And Becky Lynch is the man now, or was when she was wrestling, so. I figured that was just to kind of stick it to Nate because of the whole controversy. And Becky Lynch, by the way, is the only female on that list, so. Again, though, it's subjective. It's a room, probably at Sports Illustrated, a room full of their writers or whatever that kind of weighed in, and maybe they had a little guidance and direction from WWE. Yeah. That was and the only one I questioned, was not having Flair on the list. So
yeah, and I would say, you know, how old was the people that came up with this list? How long have they been watching wrestling? What is the background? So again, I think I, you know, saw part of the list. I believe Roman Reigns is in the top 10. I'm assuming
number five.
Yeah. I've said it here on the show, I'm sure plenty of times. I don't think Roman Reigns is a good wrestler. I think he has a good storyline for the last 20 years of the Tribal Chief, but again, his matches, I don't find anything extraordinary or great. So from my opinion, Roman Reigns would not be a top 20 wrestler, but I understand why he is number five on a,
well, and Undertaker,
on a subjective list.
Yeah. Undertaker right under him at six, you know, and who's Triple H one? Seven. Cena? Number one is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, that makes
it's
sense.
Austin, Hogan, Rock, Cena, Roman Reigns, Undertaker is six, Triple H is seven, Shawn Michaels is eight, Bret Hart is nine, and Bruno Sammartino is 10. So Macho Man Randy Savage, Kurt Angle, Roddy Piper, Edge, kind of surprised me a little bit, Randy Orton, Andre the Giant, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Mick Foley or Mankind. I guess they have it listed as Mick Foley, but and then number 20 is Becky Lynch. So it's an interesting list. And again, it's someone's opinion, but because Sports Illustrated is, you know, I can remember getting the Sports Illustrated magazine when Hulk Hogan was on the cover back in probably 85, 84, 85. So it's a pillar of the community, if you will, and people, you know, it has influence and people obviously talk about it. We're talking about it right now. So I thought I'd bring it up and just kind of get some of your thoughts on it as well.
Two things. One, did you ever get the football phone that you got when you ordered it?
No.
And two, one person that is missing, and all I got to say is, what up with that? Where's the Hurricane on the list? Hurricane needs to be on there.
He might have been 21 or 22. Rick was 21. So,
yeah. I mean, you look at that list and it's pretty much, you know, it's all, if I remember correctly, the list you gave, all former world champions. It's
For the most part.
If
you count Andre, are you in the camp? Andre is a former champ holding it.
Of course.
Okay.
He beat Hulk Hogan twice. He technically beat Hulk Hogan twice. WrestleMania 3, the referee made a 3 count. Should have won. But I mean, that list is basically, if you typed in who are top popular WWE stars, AI would spit out that list. Probably.
Yeah, I was
very
just
going
to say that could be an AI list just as easy. So,
yeah.
Well, something that's not an AI list is this week's podcast. As we mentioned, we're going to talk about Goldberg, and it's funny because on Saturday, we had some people over. I come in, turned on Crown Jewel, caught the tail end of the opening match, and then watched part of whatever the next match was. I don't even remember now. I think it was one of the women's matches. The women's tag. Then I went back out to entertain, and then by the time everybody left and I got back to the TV, I turned on the TV that it goes to regular TV first before you switch to Roku, long story short. But anyway, I'm telling you that part of the story because when I turned on the regular TV, it was on ABC, our local affiliate that airs college football on Saturdays. And Goldberg was walking across the field or on the sidelines. And they had his little thing up on the side that said who he was. And he's a former wrestler and he played for Georgia and yada, yada, yada. And I didn't leave it on. I wanted to try to catch the rest of Crown Jewel, which I happened to turn on as they were crowning Cody as the champion. So anyway, I guess during the course of his appearance on at that football game, he announced that he is going to now get a retirement match. And I know, was it last? It was right before Wembley 2023. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of speculation. You know, Goldberg was not going to get his retirement match. I guess they had parted ways with him, and he was, you know, I'm going to say butt hurt, but he was not happy with that decision. And there was speculation that Tony Khan might bring him in. Are you surprised that Goldberg never went to AEW? And now the fact that I guess they are going to give him his retirement match sometime in 2025.
I don't think surprised is the word I would use. Elated is probably better. I don't know. I saw something online about Goldberg saying he's getting a retirement match. I haven't seen anything beyond that to know any details, if they've announced when it's going to be or where or what. But honestly, it's not a match that I am eager for. I will not be camping out to buy tickets or selling blood to be able to afford WWE ticket prices now for this match.
Well, let's backtrack. Okay, I want to know why. Let's go back to the beginning. Goldberg debuts in WCW in 1997.
Yeah.
I actually met Goldberg in early 1998, in January of 98. He was, it was when I did the backstage part. I actually interviewed him too, but I think I've told the story before. Doug Dillinger got mad at us for getting some extra B-roll of them setting up the ring, and he took our tape and they erased the B-roll footage of the ring being built. And I'm pretty sure the Goldberg interview got taken off of that as well. So, but this was like the very beginning of his streak, so he wasn't anywhere where he ended up becoming. But for me personally, and I do not like being negative on this podcast, I like to try to keep things positive and upbeat and whatnot, but Goldberg is someone, you know, we just talked about this top 20 list. If I had a top 200 list, I don't think Goldberg would be on it. He just, for me, never clicked. Part of it maybe was the whole WCW, you know, presentation of him. I don't know, but yeah, maybe I'm a hypocrite. And if he were in the WWF from the beginning, I would have liked him more. I don't know. I just never connected. And his returns, he still looks good and can get in there and move, but I'm like you, I'm not going to be camping out and waiting for this. Were you ever a fan of Goldberg back in that height? I know you were more of a WCW guy than I was. So what were your thoughts of him as he was kind of climbing those ranks?
I mean, I liked him in WCW because I think it was something different at the time. We hadn't really seen, you know, a streak like that in wrestling. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my gosh, I was wowed by his matches. And they're, and you know, building up that streak, there were a lot of, you know, repeat matches and mostly jobber matches until he won championships. So, but there was something about the aura of him in WCW that I think part of my reasoning why I'm not a Goldberg fan now is, one, it's kind of contradictory to what you were just saying. His first WWE run was very lackluster. And part of that is, I think, also, I'm going to say getting to know Goldberg outside the wrestling ring. And obviously, I'm not friends with him. I've never had a conversation with him like you have. But just seeing him in interviews or reading about him, and he still, I think, comes off as wrestling is beneath him. And even though it's what made him a star, what has given him the longevity to have a career in wrestling, you know, you look at someone like Sting, since we're talking retirement, Sting was not a wrestling fan when he started wrestling.
Right.
But somehow came around to be like, okay, this is my job. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't know if he became a fan or if he just respects the industry more. Goldberg is more like, yeah, just put me in there. I'm going to do my 3 minutes and I'm going to collect my check and go home. And I don't, you know, if he was in AEW, would he have taken someone under his wing like Sting did with Darby? Would he be, and really what does Goldberg have to teach people, you know?
Right.
So in that regard, and I think as we've seen him over time, it's the law of diminishing returns. It's like, what, is there anybody on the roster that I want to see him go up against right now? And right. Yeah, I'm going to guess that the fans will want him to face Gunther.
Right.
Gunther. And especially after the altercation at Bad Blood. But again, Gunther is still not someone that I am fully connected to as a wrestling fan. You know, I can appreciate him, but I'm not,
yes,
you know, his matches. So that match, if that's the match, as of right now, it holds no interest for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's funny because I had one of our friends text me earlier today about this. And it's like, why is Goldberg getting a retirement match? Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. And my response was, his match should be on speed. You know, it's the 5 minute or less WWE internet show. Perfect time length for a Goldberg match. And
what was it, our friend that I think it is?
Yes.
Okay. I figured.
And so, I mean, I'm going to guess because Cena isn't retiring at WrestleMania, but he said it'll be his last WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess it's going to either be WrestleMania or SummerSlam, because I can't see, if he's having a retirement match, doing it on a B-level show.
Right. But, yeah.
Although maybe he does it on the next Saudi Arabia show, because the Saudi fans will cheer him. So,
well, and that's the last time he wrestled. It was 2 years ago at the Saudi show. I think it was at the Hell in a Cell. He wrestled against Roman Reigns, and I think the referee stopped the match after about 6 minutes. And I want to clarify, when I said earlier about, you know, WWE run for Goldberg, I agree with you on his run being lackluster when he came to WWE. I meant if he had started in WWE, right, would he have been packaged or presented differently than what they did? Because, you know, Kevin Sullivan has said in the past that there's a lot of people that thought they were trying to rip off Steve Austin with the look, with the bald head and the black boots and black tights, but they were going more for a Mike Tyson look, because he did wear the gloves on his hands, and they were trying to make him more of a badass in that sense and not Stone Cold, which I, as wrestling fans, I think it's easy to jump onto something and kind of latch and think that it's something different than what maybe the original intent was. Obviously, they didn't come out and say, oh yeah, he's like our version of Mike Tyson. So it's easy to draw those comparisons. But I think also when he did finally go to the WWF, and I think we've had this conversation too before about the NWO finally coming over and Scott Steiner finally coming over, you know, those guys all waited out their money, their guaranteed money from ALL Time Warner, which who can blame them? They were sitting at home collecting checks and not having to wrestle for over a year. So by the time they finally came, it was like, eh, like I would have been fine. And I hate saying this, 'cause I really don't, you know, I don't have anything personal against the guy, but I just never, he never clicked for me. And had he never come to the WWF or WWE, I would have been okay with that. If WCW would have been it for him.
Yeah.
And I think he still made his mark. I think, like you said, I did like the way they built the streak up, and then he was finally the one to kind of dethrone Hollywood Hogan there for a minute. And then but I feel like that all got clustered up in the Starrcade and the Kevin Nash ending the streak. I didn't like how they ended Goldberg's streak, as they built it up for so long. And then they just, in my opinion, kind of pissed it away with the way they ended it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's, you know, to do a more modern day comparison, it's kind of like Asuka in NXT was undefeated through her run.
Yeah.
And I think the problem you run when doing that is, once you finally beat them, what do you do with them next?
Yeah.
Because, you know, why is it they could go 2 years undefeated, and then once they get beat, then they're getting beat more often. You know, and that's where I think Gunther will be interesting to see in the next year, what he does. I also think, you know, it's kind of like when someone comes into a promotion and you give them the title right away, and then once they lose the title, how do you shift them down the card realistically?
Mm-hmm.
You would think that they should still be, you know, fighting for the title on a constant basis. But
yeah,
those are booking decisions. We can, when we do episode whatever, when we were bookers, we can discuss those things. But yeah, you know, and to go to your point, when Goldberg, Scott Steiner, all of them came into WWF after the setting out the contracts, I think the way the invasion angle was handled, especially to WCW fans or maybe watching now, it was you know, it was kind of like a slap in the face that the WCW guys never really were presented as stars.
Right.
And then when you bring in Steiner and Goldberg and even the NWO, I think there was still part of that, and maybe this is just bias created by the internet. Vince McMahon also always had to be like, we are better than you. You were WCW, even though that company no longer exists, even though I own it, even though you're wrestling for me now, I can't let you be stars in a sense, or superstars. And so the booking, and you know, because when Goldberg came in, and he, I think he's even mentioned this, you know, they tried to make him a joke, putting him, you know, skits with Gold Dust and other things. So I think that took some shine off of Goldberg as well. And then the fact that he was only there for a year. And again, it goes back to what I was saying about not really respecting the business, which, again, as someone not in the business, I don't think that's for me to say and be a critique for say, but as a fan, it is, you know, if you're just coming in and collecting a paycheck, why should I care about you?
I was really surprised in the aspect of when he was there originally, you know, in, what was it, 2002 or 2003, I guess, leaving at WrestleMania 20. Then he was gone for a long time, and I don't think he did anything wrestling related until he came back and wrestled and you know, beat Brock Lesnar for the championship and then and had another run. And I feel like even though he was obviously older, probably in his, by that point, late 40s, not that I think that's old, but older than when he was competitive in wrestling Triple H and you know, that first run, that they put the belt on him and that he was part of, you know, a big part of the story, you know, and I think to the chagrin of Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, for example. And I think that may have been one of Jericho's last stints with WWE was when Goldberg was in there and they were doing all that stuff. So I was always kind of surprised because, like we've talked about before, they never brought Pedro Morales back to have a championship run, you know, 10, 15, 20 years after he was originally there, or Bruno Sammartino for that matter. But, you know, Hulk Hogan, Goldberg, some of these guys came back, and some of it, I think, is part of it being able to physically get in there and do it and still look passable in the ring doing it. You know, 20 years from now, or probably not 20 years from now, 15 years from now, will John Cena or Roman Reigns or one of these guys come back and get another run? I don't know. But Goldberg, to me, was a very interesting part of it because he didn't seem to like it. But I do think when you put those zeros behind the comma on that paycheck, it makes a difference. And then, you know, Triple H specifically, but WWE has been known to, you know, forgive and forget and move forward, because I know Goldberg had said some pretty disparaging things after he left the first time. So, you know, it's just, to me, it's always been very interesting with him specifically because he never connected for me, or I never connected with him as a fan. So when he comes back, again, to me, it is more, and I probably get hypocritical because when The Rock comes back, I don't mind it, but Goldberg, I'm like, eh, whatever. But with Gunther, you know, you brought it up earlier, he ended up losing at Crown Jewel against Cody Rhodes. Gunther's only lost, I think, three or four matches in his time in WWE. You know, it's when he lost the NXT European Championship or UK Championship, the Intercontinental title, and then getting pinned against Cody. I can count on one hand how many people have pinned him, I think. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from here with Gunther specifically. And it does it lead to a match against Goldberg, the retirement match. And then does Goldberg put Gunther over, or does he go out winning that match? You know, we saw with Sting, obviously, in AEW, they booked it to where Sting goes out the hero, retires as the tag team champion. Can you do the same thing with Goldberg? Does he beat Gunther and win the championship, or is it a non-title match? Will Gunther lose the belt before then? Does Gunther go over? Because we've seen it on the other end where Kurt Angle loses to Baron Corbin, who has also allegedly been released. You know, Ric Flair loses to Shawn Michaels. So WWE tends to book those guys' last matches, Shawn Michaels, for example, as they're out. They lose, and they have passed the torch, so to speak. Is there a torch to pass for Goldberg? Does Gunther beating Goldberg do anything for Gunther's career, in your view?
No. And I think that's an interesting situation to look at, is that, and I think this may be one of the reasons why I'm also not looking forward to a Goldberg retirement match, is because my initial thought was, would he be willing to do the job? Mm-hmm. Or is he going to come in and be like, no, I'm Goldberg. I need to win. And, you know, we've talked about it many times, where if you're not going to be on the show the next day, then the person who is going to be there should be the one to win. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones that are going to keep the fans coming back. I'm trying to think who Goldberg could face to really pass the torch to. And
Dirty Dom. You know,
because he, what's that?
Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom. Hey, I could see that. I would be, that might make me interested in the match. But yeah, there's just no one that right now that I can see gaining anything from beating Brock, or I keep wanting to say Brock, beating Goldberg, because I think, like we said, the sporadic nature of Goldberg coming back, to me, it's kind of like when Mick Foley retired and then kept kind of coming back, and, you know, he would lose matches to put over people. And it's like, but if you lose every time you come back, then the person beating you isn't really beating anybody. You know, they're just beating this former wrestler. And I know, you know, Goldberg hasn't lost all of his matches coming back, but same thing where it's like, if you haven't wrestled, why should I believe that you can come back and beat a top guy right off the bat? And, if Tom Brady came back right now and played a game against the Miami Dolphins, he's probably going to win because the Dolphins suck. And I say that as a Dolphins fan, it's really sad. That's why I listen to Hootie and the Blowfish all football season long. But there's a difference, I think, between, and obviously you go with, you know, wrestling isn't 100% legitimate. Mm-hmm. It's set up. So having someone come back, you know, it's like when Hogan came back and was beating people, you know, it's like we said, you never saw that with the older generations coming in. If they did, it was usually the younger guys winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, and do you think that this is also part of a plan? You know, I don't know much about Goldberg's son, but I know that, you know, they have highlighted him before when he was a teenager. And now I think he is in college. There has been speculation that Scott Steiner's son may join Braun Breaker eventually in WWE. Could Gage Goldberg be getting some sort of, you know, does this kind of help in connecting those dots? Mm-hmm. And we get, you know, another Goldberg, another generation of Goldberg in the ring. You know, what are your thoughts on guys that have, or women, I guess, nowadays that have children who could seemingly jump in? Does that help them attach that? You know, does that add to the story of this? I think we saw with Sting, you know, his Steve Borden's sons were a part of that last match. I like how they did that. I wonder if WWE borrows something from that. And I think the one son is training or was training to become a wrestler, one of Sting's sons. So I am curious if that's part of the whole plan here is to bring in Goldberg's kid to eventually become a wrestler. And maybe that would be a good Dirty Dom, you know, have Dirty Dom, feud with Gage Goldberg down the road. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing because the way WWE does things is, you know, take, for example, Braun Breaker. Well, they'll bring a guy in, change his name, Curtis Axel, another one, but then talk about the lineage of being the son. And it's, I don't know, again, to me, because I'm more of a literal person and semantics are important to me, that just seems very odd to me. It's like, why not, you know, it, unless you're going to give him like a nickname to go by.
Right.
And then say, and then, you know, like Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, you know, they call him Jungle Boy, but then always reference that he is actually Jack Perry, son of, you know, Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Who was not a wrestler, but I think, you know, it's interesting the number of second, third generation star wrestlers that we have now. And is it just because wrestling has been around long enough now to be mainstream enough that, you know, these second generation wrestlers are, can see that as a viable career move. Whereas, you know, back until up until the mid late 80s when wrestling really took off, you know, wrestling wasn't, you know, I guess, was it back in the 60s and 70s? It's what football players did in the offseason to make extra money. But now, you know, that's money's there. And because you can play off the legacy more, is it easier to bring in a second? Or are the athletes that much better? You know, because again, we go back, David Sammartino, Greg Gagne, you know, are... I'm sure there's more that I can't blanking on right now, but are they getting better trained just in average sports to be able to transfer into wrestling better?
Yeah. I think that's part of it. I mean, I think that, you know, Charlotte Flair and Braun Breaker, you know, I think, you know, Braun's only been around a couple of years at this point, if even, and on the main roster, even less than that, but I think he will surpass both Rick and Scott Steiner in terms of the footprint or the imprint that he leaves on the wrestling world. Bray Wyatt, I think, you know, no longer with us, but I would argue in his short career, I would almost say that he surpassed, you know, Mike Rotundo. I don't think he was necessarily a quote unquote better athlete because Mike Rotundo, I can't remember if Bray wrestled in college as well, but, you know, we all know the varsity club lineage and all that with Mike Rotundo. But yeah, I think that this generation of guys that are coming up now, guys and women that are coming up now, athletically, they're more gifted than their famous fathers. But again, there's more to it than just being, you know, Cody Rhodes is obviously, if you looked at Cody Rhodes and Dusty Rhodes, you would pick Cody probably 9 times out of 10 as who's the better athlete. But the better professional wrestler / sports entertainer, I would still go with Dusty. You know, he had that charisma, you know. It's kind of the same with Rock, you know, Rock and Rocky Johnson. You know, they were both great shape and you know, could get in there and do their thing, but you know, The Rock is a better entertainer than Rocky Johnson was, and by Peter Maivia. But I also think, you know, looking at Ava Raine or whatever they're calling her in NXT, Rock's daughter, you know, Rock is obviously of that four generations. The Rock is going to get the vote, I think, as being the most charismatic and best performer. So it is interesting though to see how these superstars, you know, and I read something the other day about another one that had a kid that was training or considering training. And now I can't remember who it was, but yeah. So Goldberg, you know, I think, and good for him. You know, I don't begrudge. I never looked at it as so-and-so is only getting a break because of their dad or their mom. You know, to me, that's, you know, that's life and that's the breaks. And that, you know, that happens in every aspect of life. You'll walk
I work in Hollywood. I see that on a daily basis. Oh, yeah. So
it doesn't bother me if someone's kid gets a second look or gets a, you know, because it's not going to always guarantee success. Like you mentioned, Eric Watts, David Flair,
Garrett Bischoff.
Garrett Bischoff, you know, those guys all had famous fathers that were, you know, exceeded expectations in the business. I think Ted DiBiase, you know, I know that he's run into some other issues down the road. Kendall Windham, you know, you could list probably just as many, I don't want to say failures, but non-success stories as you can those that succeeded or exceeded what their famous parent did in the ring or beyond, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always an interesting conversation, I think. Anything else on Goldberg or that you want to talk about before we wrap up this week's episode?
No, I was, to follow up on that, I think it goes back to my original complaint about Goldberg, and that is, you know, if Gage comes into wrestling, as long as there is the respect for the business and not just coming in, trying to make the money and then leave, you know, and again, does that really matter to people that aren't working with him, that aren't paying his paycheck? I mean, maybe it shouldn't, but as a fan, you want someone that you, you know, don't want to feel is just there for a cash grab. And so hopefully if Gage Goldberg does come in, hopefully it's under those, you know, conditions, but we'll see. I have no idea what type of athlete he is or how much interest he has. So this is all speculation at this point. Anything else to go on? Trying to think if there's anything else with Crown Jewel that I was going to bring up, but no, I don't know. I got nothing.
You got nothing. Well, yeah. I got nothing else either, friends. Again, thank you for tuning in on YouTube or listening on your favorite podcast app. Please leave a review. Consider donating to the My123Cents Wrestling Figure Drive. I was at Walmart over the weekend. They have a lot of those. I think they're about $8. They're those little smaller versions of like John Cena and The Rock. I think they had Bobby Lashley. I sent you a picture of that, wondering if I could get a discount on it. So it's easy to donate. Reach out here to me on the page, and we'll talk more about that. Don't forget, Stride Pro Wrestling returns this Friday night, November the 8th. It is a one-night-only event happening at Crab Orchard School in Marion, Illinois. Again, Friday, November 8th. Check the Stride page for more details on that. Thanks for listening and or watching, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.